Recognizing You're at War. And we want to continue that series today. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to stand with me and turn to Genesis chapter 3. I want to read verses 1 to 6 of Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. The Word of God says this: Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant unto the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now I want to preach to you again on the subject, recognizing you're at war. And if you want to put a subheading under that, you can say the devil's suggestions. Recognizing the devil's suggestions. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that where two or more are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. Anything we ask you for, you said you'd do it for us. Lord, I pray that you would touch me with that anointing that makes preaching effective, O God, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive all that you would say unto the church. Help us, O Lord, to not be forgetful hearers, only deceiving ourselves, but help us to be doers of thy word. And Lord God, we'll be ever careful to give you the praise and glory and honor for all that's going to be accomplished today. We ask you to save that one that's lost. Sanctify and fill that one with the Holy Ghost that's battling with sin. Fill with the Holy Ghost all of us, Lord, your Spirit, Lord, give him to us abundantly, that we might live for you, and we'll be ever careful to give you the praise and glory and honor for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shake three hands before you're seated and tell them you're glad to see them in God's house. Hallelujah. You're an awesome looking congregation on a rainy Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Interesting fact. Do you know that out of America's years of existence, 239, according to the website I looked at, it has been at war 93% of the time of its existence since 1776. There have been wars going on in the world since Cain slew Abel. And we need to realize and understand who the source of these wars are. And we need to realize that, glory to God, one day there's going to come an end to all wars. Aren't you glad of that? Hallelujah. We've got a hope this morning. There's going to come a time when men are going to beat their swords into plowshares. And Scripture promises us that men will not learn war anymore. But until that day comes, we can recognize where our wars are coming from, and we can know how to fight them. We are fighting an enemy called Satan, and we can understand that not only does Satan move men to get guns and kill innocent people that they don't even know, and move on teenagers to go into schools and shoot up schools, and people go into hospitals, and we could go on and on with the tragedy of wars and violence. But the bad thoughts that come into our mind, where do they come from? And how do we deal with them? Let me give you a quick illustration. There was a man named Jack who was furious with his brother Bill. He had restored a 1967 Chevrolet, and he loved that car, and he worked hard at that car, and his brother Bill begged him to let him borrow it. And the car stood in front of Jack now. What's the best way to put it? A pale comparison to what it used to be. It was mangled. All the glass was shattered out of it. It was wrinkled, and it was bent up. Bill had got in a wreck with Jack's car. First thought to come through Jack's head, kill Bill. Second thought that came through Jack's head was hip build. He's done it to you again. You remember that time he took your glove without asking you and left it out in the rain and got it ruined? And all these thoughts started going through Jack's minds. And then all of a sudden, he remembered the words of Jesus that said, "Forgive that ye may be forgiven." And so Jack all of a sudden felt his facial muscles relax. He sighed and he unclenched his fist. He looked over at his brother who was looking at him, and he was really defeated. And Bill said, "Jack, I'm so sorry. I wasn't speeding. I just hit a slick spot in the road and the car hydroplaned. And here it is." And Jack looked at his brother and said, "I'm glad you're okay, Bill. I love you." And he hugged his brother. But where do those thoughts come from? Can I submit to you that there is a devil that's seeking to steal, kill, and destroy relationships? He's trying to destroy families. He's trying to destroy health. He's trying to destroy nations. And he's going to do everything he can to do that. And we see in the story in Genesis chapter 3 some interesting things about how Satan operates. Look with me at verse 1 of Genesis chapter 3. Now notice what it says here. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And got in, he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." The first thing the devil will do is come to you and challenge the authority and the commandments of God.
Yes, amen.
Do you realize that Satan is just a created being the same as you and I? Only God is the one who always has been, always will be, and is forevermore. Amen. From beginning to end, he is Alpha and Omega. He has no beginning. He has no end. The rest of us, including spiritual and natural beings other than God, are created. But the devil will challenge God's authority. We need to understand that when thoughts challenging authority come into our mind, we need to recognize that could be the enemy speaking to us. The Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So when you question authority of parents, when you question authority of your employers, when you question authority of spiritual authority, beloved, you need to ask yourself, what is the basis of my questioning? Am I being rebellious or do I have a legitimate complaint? Hallelujah. Now the second way that the devil tempted Eve, notice what he says here. He questioned the reliability of God. Look at first of all the woman's response in verse 2. "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now notice what Satan does here. He doesn't even question what the commandment of God was. But notice what he does here. He questions God's reliability and the motive of God. Verse 4. "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." The devil may come to you and say, "Well, if you don't get saved, you can still make it into heaven. If you don't read your Bible and pray and repent of your sins, you might still make it into heaven." You need to understand who's questioning the authority of God. The Bible says there is a way unto God, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Beloved, can I go ahead and give him praise? That's all right. Hallelujah. When you question the word of God, you are questioning the authority of God and you are questioning the motive of God. How many of you have ever asked this question before? Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have ever said, "God, if you love me, why did you let this happen? God, why is there death in the world? God, why is there murder in the world? Why is there sickness? Why did I go through this financial situation? God, why are my children like they are?" We ask ourselves why many times, and we need to be careful that we're not questioning the character of God. Because the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Now you need to understand why this was such an important question for Eve, because Eve had never known death. She'd never seen anybody die. She didn't know what death was. All she had to rely on was that God told her, don't eat of it, because the day you eat of it, you shall experience something you've never experienced before. And so she did not have a basis on which to react to Satan's accusation of God. And we've got to be careful about the thoughts that come into our head, because if we're not careful, we can be giving place to the devil. And we can be questioning God's love for us and God's authority over us. Now understand this. When you're going through bad things in your life, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It means that we live in a sin-cursed world. And God showed his love for you in one way that you need to hold on to, and don't you ever let it go. God showed you his love in the fact that he gave Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins. Oh, give him praise and glory. Hallelujah. So the devil will question the motives of God, and the devil will question the character of God, and the devil will question the authority of God. Now look at what scriptures goes on and says here. Verse 5, here comes Satan. For God knoweth, everybody say God knoweth. Even the devil recognizes that God is omniscient. And that God is all-knowing. Hallelujah. That's why I always find it amazing when people don't want to come to the altar and they don't want to pray like they're going to keep some big secret from God. He already knows. Amen. He knows what you said. He knows what you did. He knows, hallelujah, the thoughts that you thought. He even knows the intents of your heart. So the best thing to do is go ahead and be real with God. But here's the difference. Notice what Satan did here. Verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now that's important for you to understand and realize, because what got Satan cast out of heaven? Was it not the very intent of his heart? He said, I will ascend into the hill of the Most High, and I will be like God. He tried to put in Eve his desires, his sin, his self-will, and Eve fell for it. He did the same thing to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He came to Jesus Christ and he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But listen to what Jesus did. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Where Eve and Adam fell in that they transgressed, Jesus succeeded in that he obeyed. That's why scripture says that because Jesus Christ learned obedience and he was obedient even unto death, God has given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow, even the devil that we're reading about here today. Hallelujah. Can you give God praise? Hallelujah. So what are you saying to me, preacher? I want you to realize something, beloved. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And to hearken than the fat of rams. We love to sing and praise the Lord, but God wants us to live right. God wants us to walk right. God wants us to trust his word. What's making you doubt the word of God today? What's making you doubt the commandments of God today? What's making you doubt the promises of God? You might be under spiritual attack this morning. If you are doubting the word of God, if you're doubting the authority of God, if you are doubting the promises of God, you might be under spiritual attack this morning. Now look at what the Bible says happened. The devil, not only does he put thoughts in your head and make you question God, make you question God's authority, make you question God's character, make you question God's person, make you question God's promises. Notice what happens here. He then comes and he gives physical or visual reinforcement. Look at verse 6. And when the woman saw, everybody say saw. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food. How many of you have ever stumbled and tripped because you looked at people's living in sin and there was never any consequences for their actions or their behaviors, and you wonder, why am I going to church? Why am I reading my Bible? Why am I avoiding things that my friends are engaging in and they seem like they're having a great time? Beloved, can I tell you, while there might not be an immediate result of their sin, there will be a payday. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You might not have judgment for your sins on this world, but there will come a payday. The devil tried to tell Eve there won't be a payday for your sin of transgressing and eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. No, you're going to be like God. You're going to be free. You're going to understand the whole situation. You're going to realize what the whole enchilada is all about. Notice what Eve did here. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, number one, now, have you ever noticed that? I wonder how many fruit trees they were in the Garden of Eden that day. Think about it for a minute. Oranges would have been good enough for me. But there were orange trees, there were bananas trees, there were pineapples, there were coconut. All the trees that we have, and more than that, they were all the best tasting fruit you could ever eat. They were perfect. Why did Eve have to have that fruit? Ain't that how we do a lot of times? The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. Hallelujah. But when we pursue the things of this world, we need to be careful that we're not being led by the enemy and we're about to pierce ourselves through with many sorrows. Now notice what happened. She saw that it was a tree good for food. She might have thought to herself, well, you know what? That might be better than those bananas we ate last night. That might be better than those oranges. That might be better than the strawberries or the grapes, hallelujah, that we've been eating. I've never tasted that fruit. That might be something special. Am I preaching to you right now? You might be sitting there saying, I wonder what it would be like to have a relationship with that individual. I wonder what it would be like to do this in my business dealings. I wonder what it would be like to do this, to watch this movie, to go to listen to this type of music. But you better be careful. You might be about to break a commandment of God. You might be say amen, Lord. Hallelujah. There goes the thunder. It was pleasant to the eyes. See, the devil gave the suggestion, but then the natural order of things took over. It was good looking fruit. Hallelujah. Anybody ever eat fruit that didn't look good? We didn't. Generally, we don't. We want it to look good. So the devil will not only present sin to you in a good way, he will cause you to lust after something that looks good, that smells good. Notice what it says here. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. There would be some good consequences if I ate of this tree. You know what? If I have this one relationship outside of marriage, ain't nothing going to happen and it'll make me feel good. If I go and I partake of this substance one time, it'll make me feel good. And I'll forget about my sorrows for a little while. If I look at this ungodly movie, it ain't going to bother me. It'll make me feel good. It'll give me some more knowledge. Beloved, can I tell you what? You can't get no better knowledge than the knowledge in the pages of this book. And if the knowledge you get doesn't line up with this book, then you need to run from the knowledge you're grabbing hold of. I love the fact, I read an article not too long ago, many scientists are becoming theists and they're becoming Christians because science that is true validates the Word of God. It doesn't contradict it. It upholds it. It doesn't undermine it. But notice what it says here. She took of the fruit thereof. Not only did she take it, she ate and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, time won't permit me to get into all that scripture right there. Why didn't Adam say, you know, you would have thought that he would say, wait a minute, That don't look like anything we've been eating. Why are you bringing this to me? But he took of it and he ate, and because they transgressed the commandment of God, judgment came on all of us. And I want you to understand this morning, beloved, when those thoughts come into your mind that question the authority of God, that question the Word of God, when you ask yourself why, you need to be careful that your why, the conclusion of the question, doesn't lead you away from the Word of God. It leads you to the Word of God. Answer the questions of your life by the Word of God. Hallelujah. Why is there sin and death in the world today? The reason why there's sin and death in the world today is because of Eve and Adam's sin. Why do I have hope today that there's going to come a day when no one will ever die because of what Jesus did for us when he went to the old rugged cross and he died and he rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven? Why do I feel so depressed and discouraged? Has God left me? Has God forsaken me? Has God abandoned me, you might say? Answer that with the Word of God. God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. Somebody praise the Lord. When you come and you're tempted to commit adultery, when you come and you're tempted to lust, and when the enemy comes and you're tempted to doubt God, answer him with the Word of God. The Bible says God hates the putting away. God, thou shalt not commit adultery. When you're tempted and you're wondering, is God going to meet all of my needs? The Word of God says, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. What do you need from God? God's got the supply. And he will meet the need. Go ahead and praise him again. Hallelujah. I can imagine Jack, as he stood there looking at that car he spent so many years trying to restore, now just a mangled heap. He really wanted to do some damage to Bill. And he probably could have. Bill was defeated over the instance. He was defeated over the accident. Felt ashamed over it. But Jack heard the voice of God, along with the voice of the devil. And I want to tell you something this morning. As you go through this week, you're going to hear one of three voices. You're going to hear the voice of the devil. Usually the voice of the devil is the one that's shouting at you, the one that's yelling at you, the one that's urging you to do something. You're hearing your own self speaking to you, which your own self wants to preserve itself. Do you know that? Your own self doesn't want to go the extra mile. Your own self doesn't want to sacrifice. The devil's sitting down there screaming at you, hollering at you, urging you to go against the will of God, questioning the authority of God, questioning the plan of God. But then you'll hear a whisper. I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. Thoughts and plans to make of you a certain end. He who began a good work in you shall be faithful to complete it against that day. Maybe you've sinned and you say, man, Lord, I've messed up and I don't see, God, how you can forgive me. I've had somebody tell me not too long ago, I've done so much wrong, I doubt that God can forgive me. And this is my response. You know what? That's what faith is all about. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't put a limit on how many sins he'll forgive. Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
Go ahead and give him praise. He doesn't put a limit on how many times he'll heal us, on how many times he'll forgive us, on how many times he'll cleanse us. Hallelujah. I'm glad of that tonight, this morning. And I want you to realize something. We're not to take light of the grace of God. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall ye that are dead to sin continue any longer therein? Don't make light of the grace of God. Because there will come a day when your heart stops beating. There will come a day when your brain quits functioning and the breath leaves your body. And then you'll stand before God Almighty and you will either hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in into the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Or you will hear, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." And it's based on what you do with Jesus and what you do with the word. I'm going to ask the praise team if they